Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and this is Dr. Meg Meeker, and I'm here at the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida, with pastor, author, and my friend, John.
That's
Bevere.
Good.
Okay. Yes. That's what he told me to say. John just recently written a book that we're really excited to talk about, and it's titled Good or God? Why Good Without God Isn't Enough. Great title.
Thank you,
thanks,
Meg.
For coming, John. I
Meg,
really appreciate
I'm so
it.
So honored to be here. First and foremost, because I am a huge fan of Dr. Dobson. And Dr. Dobson helped my wife and I raise our four boys, and he has helped America so much.
He has.
And I could almost start crying right now. So I am very, very honored and grateful.
Have you met him face to face?
Yes, we've met in restaurants in Colorado Springs, and he's always so kind.
He's so kind. He's the real deal.
Yes, he is.
He is the real deal.
If anybody's out there wondering, he is the real deal.
He's the real deal. He is exactly like he sounds on radio. If you were sitting there, he would look you in the eye, he'd ask you how you are, and he would listen to how you are. You know, he's really extraordinary. What's your favorite book of his?
Well, I think the raising teenage boys subject, because we have four boys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because of that, that would be it.
Yeah.
But, anything he put out was phenomenal.
Well, and it continues to be. It's evergreen.
Yeah.
And, I feel like we need his.
Evergreen. I like evergreen. That.
We need his wisdom now more than ever before.
Yeah. You know? America would be a much safer place, much more productive place if dads would have been dads.
Yes, but I believe in men, and I believe in dads, and I believe that dads need a lot of an encouragement and restoration because we,
yes,
female
we do.
Types, have done a pretty good job, and a lot of wives, myself included, at kind of pounding pretty hard, and it's not okay.
So. Right.
Anyway, your ministry is Messenger International. Tell us about Messenger International and where it came from.
Lisa and I co-founded it in 1990.
Your wife, Lisa,
she's amazing. I've been married for 33 years with her, and that's not enough. I'm looking forward to the next 40. But anyway, we founded it in 1990, and there's three arms of Messenger International: Teach, Reach, and Rescue. Teach is what we do. I just got back from Bratislava, Slovakia, where I spoke in the National Tennis Center. People came from all over, like six nations. I'm going to Cambodia to speak to 5,000 leaders.
What did you speak on?
Well, I've written 19 books. This is my 19th. So when I was in Slovakia, I actually spoke a lot on, I spoke a lot on breaking intimidation, overcoming fear, how to really multiply their effectiveness in reaching out to the people of those areas, the Balkan states.
So you're talking to Christians about basically how to evangelize?
How to build stronger churches, how to reach their communities, et cetera, et cetera. Cambodia is going to be a lot of fun because it's all leaders, 5,000 leaders coming together in a predominantly Buddhist nation. And so I'm really excited about that. I head down 2 weeks to New Zealand where I'll do a national leadership conference down there. So that's Teach. And then we have what's called Rescue. Rescue is our efforts to get girls out of sex trafficking. We have a presence in Cambodia, Thailand, and India. We've gotten hundreds of girls out in the last couple of years. And then Reach is something I'm really passionate about, and that is our efforts to resource pastors and leaders globally. In the last 5 years, we've given away 6.5 million resources to pastors and leaders in 59 nations. So we're talking pastors in Iran, Iraq, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Vietnam, Cambodia.
Do you have difficulty getting into some of those areas?
Well, we've got really good teams all around the planet, and these teams are experts with it. We've probably put over a million resources in the underground church in China. It's kind of funny. Last year, one of the government officials looked at my international director, and he didn't even know he was my international director, and he said, "Have you heard of this book, Beta Satan? Have you heard of this man?" And my international director goes, "I'm going to jail." And he says, "We love this book. We'd like to publish this in the government church." So they literally published it in the government church and distributed 20,000 pastors of the Three Self Chinese Church. So it's really mind-blowing to see what's happening. Yeah, in Vietnam, I'm the most published author right now in Vietnam because of our efforts to help the pastors and leaders over there. So I'm really passionate about it because Jesus said to make disciples of all nations, not converts of all nations. And so, what they're desperate for in these nations, like the Middle East, Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe, they're desperate for teaching material.
So your ministry, Messenger International, the teaching part of it, is predominantly towards building up and edifying teachers.
Our goal is to build the local church.
Okay.
I mean, our television program's on in over 200 nations. We're not on in America. But television won't change the world. It will only influence the world. What will change the world is the local church. Mm-hmm. So if we can build strong local churches, we can change communities. If we can do that, we can change nations.
So how did you go from working and encouraging pastors to rescuing women and sex trafficking?
It's called having a wife who loves women, and also I love women. Mm-hmm. I hate the way men have looked at women as a piece of meat, and women are created in the image of God. And I'm very, very supportive of my wife. She reaches out, ministers to women all over the globe. She does very large women's conferences globally. And I believe that we would be a much stronger church in the earth if the women had more of a voice in the earth. Mm-hmm. And so we're very, very supportive of women.
In ministry?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you work with many women pastors around the world? Are there many women as pastors?
No, yeah, there are. It's rising up, especially in these Southeast Asian nations.
Really?
Many of the pastors are women.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, and the Bible's so specific, you know, Jesus said, you know, he's the one that sent Mary Magdalene to tell the apostles. If you look at the prophecy given by God himself, Peter said, your sons and daughters will speak my words. And mm-hmm. so you've got to understand the context of those three scriptures, not take it out of context and quiet half, more than half the body of Christ.
Right.
We need everybody.
Who love Christ and who have a very different heart and a different way of ministering and a different way of communicating and
yep.
a different reach
yep.
than men do. I mean, we have a very different reach. So good for you. And God gave you boys. He should have given you some daughters.
I wanted daughters, but my wife prayed, unfortunately, when I was a little, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately. I love my son so much. I wouldn't trade him for 1,000 girls. But my wife prayed when she was a little girl. She said, God, I want to have all boys. And I never knew about that prayer until after about the second boy came and she told me. I was like, oh,
you've been married and it was too late.
Thanks.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So let's get on to your book. It's titled Good or God? Why Good Without God Isn't Enough. What do you mean?
Well, if you look at our society today, Meg, it's become to the place where we assume that if it's good, it's God. In other words, good and God have become synonymous in people's eyes. But if good is so obvious, why does the book of Hebrews tell us we have to have discernment to recognize the difference between good and evil? Why does King Solomon, at the dawn of his reign, cry out to God and say, God, give me a heart that can discern between good and evil? If good is so obvious, why, when the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, why does Jesus correct him? Now, you and I both know Jesus was pure good. But what Jesus was saying to him is, I'm not good according to your standard. If you look at the Garden of Eden, Eve was deceived, not by the evil side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She was deceived by the good side. Mm-hmm. So there's a good that is very deceptive. And when you look at Jesus saying that in the last days there's going to be massive deception, if even the possible, even the elect are not going to be deceived by blatant evil. They're going to be deceived by good that is a substitute for God. Mm-hmm. And so that's the premise of this book, and that's the introduction of this book, because so many people today in the church have substituted good in place of a vibrant relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus Christ. And so, you know, you look at the decision of the Supreme Court. This is just one little example. This is not what the message is about, but this is an example. It broke my heart, not what happened with the Supreme Court ruled, because my Bible tells me in the latter days, Isaiah said, they're going to call evil good and good evil. So we know society's going to do this. What broke my heart is the untold thousands of, quote, Christians, and I don't know what the number is, so I should say the multitudes of Christians, that said on their Facebook, their social media, love wins. So in other words, they were supporting the fact of what the Supreme Court ruled. So in other words, what's happened is they look at, hey, two men being in love with each other, two women, and they say that's good, that's love, love wins. In reality, if you look at what the scripture says, you'll find out that God has a different standard than what we have. And the way that the serpent deceived Eve was that he got her attracted to the good side. Mm-hmm. And so this is the way that people are going to miss God. And when you miss God, you miss out on best.
You do.
Because when you embrace good in place of God, you miss out on best. God only has the best for us. That's why James says, don't be deceived. There's nothing. He said, every good and perfect gift comes from God. So in other words, there's nothing outside of God for you that's good.
Right. Well, you know, I think that it's so relevant. It's so crucial to what we're going through in our culture. And you and I, you know, maybe about the same age, but we've seen over the past 30 years this blurring of the lines.
Correct.
And good has been morphed. You know, I say now we're sort of normalizing the bizarre.
Yes.
So that the bizarre becomes the norm. And so good shifts.
Correct.
But it didn't used to, because we used to have, even secularists had a moral code.
Correct.
Because and we have no moral code.
Because the secularists still lived in a nation whose laws and culture was based on biblical morality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have leadership now in our government that is saying the United States was founded on all men are equal. Well, I beg to differ with that. The United States was founded on one nation under God, with underneath that platform, all men and women are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, when you remove the God out, now you can have any kind of morality you want, because now man sets the morality instead of the higher power, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, being our standard for morality. If you just look at our culture, and I want to say this in just in the light of seeing how culture shifts, if you could look back in the movie in the 40s or the 50s, if you have a man and a woman who are living together that aren't married in a bed on a film, all of America is going to boycott that movie.
Right.
They're going to be an outrage.
Right.
How dare you put a man and a woman who aren't married together in a bed? Mm-hmm. Today, Christians will go and watch that and think nothing of it.
Right.
It would have outraged the entire culture, everybody in America.
I wonder how many Christians saw 50 Shades of Grey. I railed on that. Now, I don't want to get off on that one, but...
But my point here is, if our standard for good, because God says the standard for good, all scripture is given to show us what's good and what's not right in our life. If the standard was truly the scripture for Christians, now I'm not talking to secular right now, I'm talking to Christians, then why has our standard of morality changed? Because basically what now we are as a church is we're a subculture. See, the early church in the book of Acts was a counterculture. In other words, their standard was based off of the words of Jesus, okay? And so they lived not only according to the law, but higher than the law. In other words, if the law didn't line up with the word of God, they lived according to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
Today in America, I mean, I live in Colorado. They legalized marijuana. Now Christians are like, hey, it's legal. Well,
right. So it's okay.
What's your standard? It's
right.
Good. It's okay. What's your standard? Is it the word of God? And the sad thing is, Meg, we're reading more social media than we are the word of God now. And so where is, of course, our standard going to be set up? We're going to do what's right in our own eyes. If our culture keeps swaying us, then our good is going to become quite different than God's
good. Here's where I want your feedback on this. What I hear Christians say all the time is, I am to live in the world. I am to minister to the world. I need to use the language of the world. I need to be understood by the world. I need to be able to dialogue with them in their verbiage and their language. So I need to come and engage them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I do what I do. I don't want to be kind of freakish and live with this sort of black and white sense that this is right and this is wrong, because that will put my friends off, you say.
In method, we should be extremely progressive and relevant in method. Paul said, I entered into their world. I considered things from their point of view. I'm speaking from Corinthians in the Living Bible. I entered into their world. I looked at things from their point of view. I did not compromise my way in Christ, he said. But he was relatable.
Mm-hmm.
So in method, we should be relatable.
But here's the problem.
In message and lifestyle, we should be God-pleasing. So method, seeker-pleasing. Message, God-pleasing. So in other words, Jesus could go into a mafia party, the tax collectors or the modern-day mafia.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason he could go to their party is he controlled the atmosphere. They were not stronger in their sin than he was in God.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if a believer goes to a party, let's say, if the sinner is stronger than his unrighteousness, then the Christian is in his relationship with Jesus, the sinner's going to control the atmosphere.
Right.
So now what happens is I start getting chipped away at, because why? I'm not founded in what is truly good, the Word of God.
I see this with parents, and I battle it all the time, and it's a sore spot. And
yep.
I see it with a lot of Christian parents, and that is this. The world says, in order to be a great parent, you need to create a great portfolio for your child before they go to college. Right. That means you need to play at least 4 or 5 sports, and you need to, you know, dance, and you need music, and you need great grades, and you need somebody to tutor your child to get into the right college, yada, yada, yada. And the Christian parent says, well, I know I'm not supposed to do that because scripture tells me otherwise, but it's the real world and my kids have to compete with that kid. So they end up parenting exactly like the non-Christian parent because they fear their child falling behind if they say, you know what? We're not going to do sports on Sunday. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to be together as a family. So I'm sorry, junior in high school football playing son, you can't do that because we want your time. And that's a huge struggle for people. So what your book is saying is...
My book is saying basically this. When I got married to Lisa, I said goodbye to all my old girlfriends, correct?
I
got rid
so.
Of their numbers.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So why? Because now I'm living because I'm totally hers. I didn't get away from all other women. Right now I'm sitting with you, Meg. I'll actually spend more time with you today than my own wife.
Yes.
But my heart is extremely loyal to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here with you. When we go into the world, we have to go into the world loyal to Jesus. So in other words, what is good in his eyes, what he desires, becomes a precipice over what the world says.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just with a basketball coach in Minneapolis last week. He coached a very large girls school. For 18 years, they tried to win the state championship. They couldn't win it. And he's in prayer, and the Lord impressed on him, put me first. So you know what he did? He cut practice time in half, and he spent 45 minutes with the girls in the Bible, in the locker room. They won 2 state championships in a row.
Wow.
Okay, so what did he do?
God's serious, isn't he?
Yeah, he put God first. And God blessed them. He said, John, I tried to win it 18 years. We came close. We'd get beat. And he said, I was so frustrated. And God said, put me first. And so that's what's important. You know, I just want to ask people to really ask themselves, do you put the pressure of society on you as first? Or do you put the desire to please your husband? You know, how many people, I want to ask people out there to think about this. How many of you would marry if the girl you proposed to or the guy you proposed to said, hey, let me just jump in bed with my old boyfriends or girlfriends one day a month? I mean, I'll make a beautiful home, cook gourmet meals, but just give me a day a month I can jump in bed with my old boyfriends. No guy would ever marry
no.
a girl. Okay. We would never do that. Why? Because that wife's heart isn't totally mine. How many people out there listening to us really think Jesus is going to come back for a bride that's the same? Just give me a little bit of the world.
That is an extraordinary analogy.
Okay.
And a painful one.
But it's a true one.
It's a true one.
So here's Jesus. He gives himself totally when he didn't deserve to be beat up and so marred that you can't even recognize he's a man. I mean, he is so beat up. He doesn't deserve a bit of it. He gives himself totally for us. That's him getting down on one knee saying, would you be my bride? And then we come and say, I want to be your bride because I want to go to heaven. But you know what? I want a relationship with the world. I want to put the world first in these certain areas of my life. Man, you're as deceived as thinking somebody's going to marry a person like that. That's mm-hmm. how deceived you are. Because my Bible tells me the friendship with the world, that means seeking to start a relationship with the world, is committing adultery against God. So the thing is, we are to go into the world. We're to be relevant. We're to love the world. But we're not allowed what the world dictates to us to rise above what our Creator has called us to do.
But we see it all over. And you know, so many times I just get very...
Well, can I correct that?
Yes.
See, you're looking at a guy that goes to nations that are persecuted,
yes.
that are in trouble. I don't see that in these nations,
no.
Meg.
No.
Okay, so when I look at these men from Iran, okay, so I go speak to 2,500 pastors and leaders, and all these pastors came across the Iranian border into Yerevan, Armenia, which is 30 miles from the Iranian border. And we couldn't even take their pictures. These pastors looked at me and said, we have to put a big styrofoam thing in our windows because if our neighbors hear us praising God, we will never be heard from again.
Right.
Okay, so this is not standard in these areas.
Right.
It's standard in America. One closed nation, very persecuted nation. The leader said, I really don't want the freedom like America has. And my friend who's a minister said, why not? You've been to jail 20 times in the last 2 years. Why don't you want the freedom? He said, because I don't want my church to lose its love for Jesus.
Oh.
And you know, they had to meet at a designated place because the secret police came in. So we don't have a real picture in America, because America, we're the one that's putting all the media out, Hollywood. So we think the world, this is the world. This is the way the whole world is. It's not, Meg.
It's here.
Yeah, so when you say that to me, I've got to immediately go, sorry, it's not like that everywhere.
My heart is American parents.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's...
Mine too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But my ministry is American parents, and sort of saying, you know, we tell you this and they go, I know. And then go and do the exact opposite. And, you know, don't encourage their kids to read scripture and don't encourage a strong relationship with Christ. And they renege on God's standards because they need their kids to succeed in life and they have the script for that. Are we here because of prosperity? Are we here because of too much stuff in our lives? Or,
you know, God said to me one time in prayer, I literally heard this inside. And so whether it was God or just my conscience, whatever, however you want to frame it. But I remember hearing this. People are tested in dry times and people are tested in abundant times. And he said, most people that fail in the abundant times. So it's not just prosperity. If you look at David never lost his heart for Jehovah, and he was extremely wealthy. Abraham never lost his love for Jehovah. He was extremely wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
He possessed a lot. So it takes a stronger heart for God to do well in prosperity, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in America. I believe the greatest move of God will happen still in America.
Mm.
I've not given up. I love this nation. I love people. I love the church. God does too.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to have to be more committed to be loyal to our Creator in this nation because of our abundance of things than maybe in Vietnam or maybe in places like Iran or Syria.
What a challenge to American Christians. We have been blessed with so much prosperity and suffered so little persecution compared to our brothers and sisters in the rest of the world. It can be easy for us to be satisfied with the good life, but nothing outside of God is truly good. When we accept the world's definition of a good life, we miss out on a vibrant relationship with our Creator. You've been listening to the first half of an interview with John Bevere discussing his new book, Good or God? Why good without God isn't enough. In the book, John reminds us that Christians are to be in, but not of, the world. All of us are called to take God's light and His hope and His love into every corner of the world that we touch. But even as we do, we must always be governed by God's standards. Messenger International, the ministry John founded with his wife Lisa, does just that. They use the transforming power of God's Word to empower people to change the world. If you want to know more about how you can get involved, or if you'd like a copy of John's book, click on the link at our website, drjamesdobson.org. And while you're online, check out the many resources we provide to help you grow in your faith and be the salt and light in the world. These resources are absolutely free because of the generous support of our many listeners. With your help, we can continue to offer such quality resources and bring leading Christian voices to you. Partner with us. Call us today at 877-732-6825. Or click the tab at drjamesdobson.org to give today. And be sure to join us next time when Dr. Meg Meeker and John Bevere talk about how to develop a yearning for God's presence so that you'll chase after the God life and not just settle for the good life. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Who
doesn't want to be encouraged to make their marriage stronger? Our new Family Talk iPhone app is designed especially to uplift your marriage in a way that makes it easy for both husbands and wives to find great resources. Loaded with articles, broadcasts, and videos, the new Family Talk app will provide you practical tips on making your marriage all it can be. The customized Family Talk app tailors content around where you are in life. Whether you're a husband, wife, dad, or mom, the Family Talk app will provide you with daily inspiration to strengthen your marriage and invest into the lives of your children. The app also allows you to set personal reminders around life's greatest priorities, your faith and family. Go to drjamesdobson.org/app. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today.